Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
page 14, chapter 31, The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. Pratigya. Nothing can be added to or subtracted from the Lord's form. His appearance and disappearance is said to be simply coming into this world and leaving it. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 31st chapter, the disappearance of Krishna is explained, as well as the disappearance of Devaki, Vasudev, Rukmini, and others. Sardartha Darshani 11:31-1. Upon learning from Daruka that Lord Krishna had returned to his abode, Vasudev and all the others remaining in Dwarka became very much agitated by lamentation and went out from the city to find him. All the demigods who, in pursuance of the desire of Lord Krishna, had taken birth in the Yadu dynasty to render assistance in his pastimes, followed Lord Krishna and returned to their respective abodes. The Lord's activities of creating a life for himself and then dismantling it are simply tricks of Maya, like an actor's performance. Actually, he creates the entire universe and then he enters within it as Supersoul. The end, he again winds up the entire universe within himself and remaining in his private glory, desist from external pastimes. Though overcome by feelings of separation from Krishna, Arjuna was nevertheless able to pacify himself by remembering all the various instructions given to him by the Lord. Arjuna then carried out the rituals of offering pinda and so on for his dead relatives. At that time, the ocean swallowed up all of Dwarkapuri except for the Lord's own residence. Arjuna took the remaining members of the Yadu dynasty to Indraprastha, where he installed Vajra upon the throne. Hearing these events, the Pandavas, led by Yudhishthira, placed Parikshit on their throne and left for the great journey. Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 28, The Disappearance of Sri Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami said, Then Lord Brahma arrived at Prabhas along with Lord Shiva and his consort. The sages, the Prajapatis, and all the demigods headed by Indra. The forefathers, Siddhas, Gandharva, Vidyadharas, and great serpents also came along with the Charanas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Kinaras, Apsaras, and relatives of Garuda, greatly eager to witness the departure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As they were coming, all these personalities variously chanted and glorified the birth and activities of Lord Saudi, Krishna. O King, crowding the sky with their many airplanes, they showered down flowers with great devotion. Seeing before him Brahma, the grandfather of the universe, along with the other demigods, who are all his personal and powerful expansions, the Almighty Lord closed his lotus eyes, fixing his mind within himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so then he meditates on himself. Like we meditate on him, he meditates on himself. The BBT purport states, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, Lord Krishna had previously answered the prayers of Lord Brahma and the other demigods who had requested the Lord to descend within the universe for the protection of his servants, the demigods. Now the demigods arrived before the Lord, each one desiring to take the Lord to his own planet. To avoid these innumerable social obligations, the Lord closed his eyes as if absorbed in samadhi. Right? Because you imagine, he's finished his pastimes here, right? But now he's been going back, then he's going to end up No, not that one. Then he's going to end up, what do you call it? Having to go to all these demigods' planets. Right? And then in doing that, then he's going to, so much time will be spent. It means he spent 125 years here. But that's 125 days up on the heavenly planets. And if you take it more, Brahma will invite, Shiva will invite, it gets up more and more. So he'll spend more times on these social obligations than he will have actually in his pastimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So you're the lucky winner.
We're all winners.
Hmm?
We're all
winners, yes. Srila Jiva Goswami adds that Lord Krishna closed his eyes to instruct the yogis how to leave this mortal world without attachment to one's mystic opulences. All the demigods, including Brahma, are mystic expansions of Lord Krishna. And yet the Lord closed his eyes to emphasize that one should fix one's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead when departing from this world. Like is the point. You have to remember Krishna. He's remembering Krishna. Right? Yeah. So he's not giving, because they're all his mystic expansions. So then the yogi is attached to his expansions. How will he leave properly? He has to give that up. So them being all his expansions, then he closes his eyes and not interacts with his mystic opulences, which are the demigods.
What's the fun in expanding them if you have to stay with them anyway?
Huh? Oh, that's another. Like, yeah. He goes for, some pastimes, but we're just saying. Because he's showing just how everything works. Sukadeva Goswami continued, without employing the mystic Agnei meditation to burn up his transcendental body, which is the all-attractive resting place of all the worlds and the object of all contemplation and meditation, Lord Krishna entered into his own abode. As soon as Lord Krishna left the earth, truth, religion, faithfulness, glory, and beauty immediately followed behind him. Kettle drums resounded in the heavens, and flowers showered from the sky. Most of the demigods and other higher beings, led by Brahma, could not see Lord Krishna as he was entering his own abode, since he did not reveal his movements. And that's the point. He reveals only you know. It's not that you can see with your senses. So if he allows you, then you'll see. But if not, you can't tell what his movements are. Because point is, he being everything, he can move anywhere as he likes. Some of them did catch sight of him, and they were extremely amazed. Just as ordinary men cannot ascertain the path of a lightning bolt as it leaves a cloud, the demigods could not trace out the movements of Lord Krishna as he returned to his abode. A few of the demigods, however, notably Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, could ascertain how the Lord's mystic power was working, and thus they became astonished. All the demigods praised the Lord's mystic power and then returned to their own planets. My dear King, you should understand that the Supreme Lord's appearance and disappearance, which resemble those of embodied conditioned souls, are actually a show enacted by his illusory energy, just like the performance of an actor. After creating this universe, he enters into it, plays within it for some time, and at last winds it up. Then the Lord remains situated in his own transcendental glory, having ceased from the functions of cosmic manifestation. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Maharaj Parikrit was sad that all people saw the Lord and his associates in this superficial way. Sukadeva comforted him by explaining the true nature of the Lord's pastimes. Understand that the birth and death activities of the Lord, which are like those of the Jiva, are actually a resemblance of the Jiva's life produced by Maya. Those actions are not real. The birth and death of the Jiva, who has a body made of semen, blood, is full of suffering. The appearance and disappearance of the Lord, who has a spiritual body, is full of bliss. It is said, the Supreme Lord, who is situated at the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category as Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.8.
Same category.
Means the same transcendental position. Like that. As an associate, then they have those same qualities and same transcendental situation. So that's the same. You know, because there'll never be a sameness between the Lord and his energies. But as far as interaction or rasa goes, then there's that sameness. And so on that platform, it's the sameness is enough for the relationship. So it doesn't have to be more than that. Being compassionate, then this is another one, quote, being compassionate in mind when his devotees are afflicted by the demons. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, though not having material birth, appears within this world along with all his Vishnu expansions, since he is the Lord of all forms of God and Devatas. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.15. Quote, the Lord having shown his form, the center of attraction for all eyes, then took that form and disappeared from the men, who had not performed austerities but had attained the Lord's mercy, and were continually craving a vision of his form. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.11. Nothing can be added to or subtracted from the Lord's form. His appearance and disappearance are said to be simply coming into this world and leaving it. Ramananda Purana. Though sometimes the Lord appears and disappears like a jiva, this is only an appearance produced by Maya. It is like the actions of a magician. Though it is false, the magician can show his or someone else's birth and death. Someone exhibits death as follows. In front of a king, a magician approaches a stack of valuable garments, jewels, coins, and so forth, given by the king. Taking a jeweled necklace, the magician tells the king, now I am taking this necklace, and you can't have it. Now I am taking this gold coin, and you can't have it. I am taking 7,000 horses, and you cannot have them. Then the magician creates the illusion that the king's children, grandchildren, brothers, and other family members have attacked each other with weapons, and that nearly all are dead from the violent quarrel. The king observes these things taking place before him as he sits in the great assembly hall. The magician says, O king, I no longer wish to live. Just as I have studied magic, so also by the mercy of the lotus feet of my guru, I have learned the mystic meditation of yoga. One is supposed to give up one's body while meditating in a holy place. I will die in front of you, since you are a holy place yourself. Thus speaking, the magician sits down in swastikasana, fixes himself in pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, jhana, and samadhi in silence. A moment later, a strong fire generated by his trance blazes forth out of his body and burns it to ashes. Then all the wives of the magician, distraught with lamentation, enter into that fire.
What a yoga studio.
This is some serious magician. Three or four days later, after the magician has returned to his own province, he sends a letter to the king. O king, invisibly taking all your sons, grandsons, and brothers who are in good health, along with all the jewels and other items given by you, I have come to my house in good health. Please, therefore, give me whatever you consider fitting remuneration for the wisdom of the magic that has been exhibited before you. End quote. In this way, even an ordinary magic can simulate death. So it appears that what he's talking here, because he's giving his evidence, is the kind of things magicians previously could do.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, that people would agree with it. Now they seem to have lost a little, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the box with the saw or something. Yeah. This example is explained in the verse. I alone have created this confusion of quarrel and fighting with weapons arising from the sage's curse. And following that, I have entered into that scene and played with mortals for a moment by taking up the reeds. Then I withdrew from that show by my own powers and now remain separate. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Krishna brought the son of his guru back from the planet of the Lord of Death in the boy's self-same body. And as the ultimate giver of protection, he saved you also when you were burned by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. He conquered in battle even Lord Shiva, who deals death to the agents of death. And he sent the hunter Jara. Yeah, is that? I mean, that question comes up. Okay, who kills Yamaraj and his Wallace, right? You know, so it's, I guess Lord Shiva takes care of that by this. I mean, no one asked that question, but, you know. The Lord defeated Shiva, who is death to death givers, in the battle with Banasura. And the Lord let the hunter Jara go to a special Vaikuntha Svar in his same body. How can the Lord not be capable of protecting the Yadus? You, the Lord, certainly can. You are fully capable of remaining eternally visible in this world along with your associates. Right, so he's protecting them. It looks like they're killing each other. No, but they're just, you know, it's just pastime, so the demigods go back, but his eternal associates are there in Dwarka. Sukadev Goswami continued, although Lord Krishna, being the possessor of infinite powers, is the only cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of innumerable living beings, he simply did not desire to keep his body in this world any longer. Thus he revealed the destination of those fixed in the self and demonstrated that this mortal world has no intrinsic value. Right? So we're thinking he could stay here, but the point is, that material, why stay? So he went to his abode. And his associates are with him, and then all those great devotees, you know, those who are absorbed, they'll also go. So the point is that staying here is not that great. Okay. Otherwise, we'll think it's okay, and then you're not sure if it's pure or mixed, right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Even though the Lord has unlimited powers, still he has acted in this way. His unlimited power is described. He is the only cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction of unlimited planets. But he is indifferent, though he is the only cause, because he acts through his unlimited shaktis. Having dispatched the devatas to Swarga, he did not desire to remain visible on earth with his associates. Pranetum vapu sheshitam. In other words, he desired to disappear. Why? What is the use of this mortal world for the Lord? He did not care for the material world, but he cared for Swarga Loka. By the request of those on Swarga, such as Brahma, the Lord appeared in this mortal world, and at their request alone he went to Vaikuntha. This is the implication of the statement. He made known his going to Vaikuntha, Gatim, to Brahma and others situated in Swarga and other planets, Svastha. Other explanations are not accepted by devotees, since they are the opinions of demons and contradict Uddhava's statement. Quote, the Lord, having shown his form, the center of attraction for all eyes, then took that form and disappeared from the men who had not performed austerities, but had attained the Lord's mercy, and were continually craving a vision of his form. 3-11. Uddhava has also said that the opinions of demons should not be accepted by devotees. The intelligence of the devotee who is absorbed in Paramatma is not bewildered by the words of those touched by the Lord's Maya, or those who take shelter of the demoniac mentality. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.10. Right, so it's not important how others see this world, what they think is important. That doesn't really matter to the devotee. What matters is Krishna.
Yes.
That's the whole point. Then if things in this world are being engaged in Krishna's service and all that, then that's fine. But that's the only value to it. It doesn't have value other than that. Does that make sense?
So how can we answer those mundane critics? They read the pastimes and challenge and say, see, you know, Krishna's life was, abnormal.
No, but why do we have to get involved in what they say? How often do we bump into those people that they say something and we have to reply?
Well, sometimes it happens. Not like very often, obviously.
The point is that, you know, the God being the controller of all his energies, then, you know, he performs his pastimes and different people see in different ways. Just like anybody. Some people like some, you know, prominent personality, some don't. So the whole point is he doesn't like Krishna, that's one view. Others like.
And so we can see from the symptoms of those who like and those who don't like, who seems to have it together.
That's there. Yeah. But is that, you know what I'm saying? So it's going to happen that way. So that's their opinion. They can be happy with their opinion. And we have ours. So what's the problem? You see in different ways. Like that. So the point is that affection is what's the most important thing. Because that's what's going on in their life. You know what I'm saying? It means everybody else sees the guy's son as a rat bag. But, you know, he has affection because he's his son. So then, you know, that's the way it goes. So he has that relationship with his son and others have a different. So if he wants to have a different one, then fine. But he can't expect that his opinion is the universal opinion. You know, how can they expect that? That's the meaning of opinion. It means that's his. Others don't have to have that, or, you know, aren't, you know, don't have or don't have to have. So what's the point of discussing? He doesn't like, go talk to somebody who doesn't like. You know what I'm saying? Would he appreciate it if, you know, we come over to his house and then start making comments about his family and his wife and this and that? And, you know, so then why would a cultured person do that? You know, we're not forcing anything on him. So then why he's trying to make his opinion and expecting that it'll have an effect on us? There's plenty of people to talk to. You know, go talk to the guys on the other side of the valley or something. You know, go convince them. Go convince all the others, you know. You know, why bother with us? Does that make sense? Yeah. But it's just due to false ego. They think that their opinion everybody should appreciate. But it's not like that in the world. You know, anyway, in reality. So, yeah.
Well, it seems that even when Krishna was there, people had different opinions.
At the time, they didn't like him. None of the demons liked him. So it's a standard thing. So, yeah, your opinion also. Kamsa had the same opinion, you know? Like that. He also didn't. Especially if they're a Hindu. Then, you know, that'll really. Yeah, it's just. He also had the same thing. He didn't like Krishna. Yeah, like that. So it's not an uncommon opinion. But, you know, but the point is those who matter, you know, those who have that affection, those are the ones you interact with. I'm sure, you know, and this person, the whole world loves him, or? Right? He doesn't have anybody that doesn't like him, you know? So that, you know, that's just the way it is. So what's the big deal? Why does he think his opinion is so important? You know, and why do we have to listen to it? So, you know, because what's to discuss? So you just deflect it. Does that make sense? Yes, yeah, so you don't worry about it. Because they don't have the ability to understand anyway, so then why bother? So you just show them your conviction, I'm doing this, and if they appreciate the conviction, then maybe they'll listen. But otherwise, then why make a scene over something that, you know, that's his opinion? Since when is there a rule that his opinion must be listened to by others? You know, is that there? The government's made that opinion, or, you know, it's there, or, you know, on the Tonight Show, then everybody knows to listen to this guy, or, you know, I mean, what's his authority that we have to listen? You know, it's just, we're people. Why do we have to listen? Is that okay? Yeah.
I mean, even some devotees confused. Why would Krishna choose the particular way, you know, his own family drinking and then killing one another?
But why not? What's the problem? If it's an illusion anyway, what's the big deal?
But from mundane point of view, it's, you know, immoral what they did.
And his what he was doing before he joined Krishna consciousness? We want to talk immoral here. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, what position are they in to talk morality? Morality means what's in line with Krishna is moral, and what's not is not is immoral. What's the problem? They're still talking about it 5,000 years later, so it means it was a good show. So who died that, you know, yes, okay, let's go back in time. Go back a few thousand years, okay? People are going to remember Socrates, right? They're going to remember Caesar. And then there's going to be a big, huge gap.
Jesus.
Huh?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. Okay.
All right, then.
Yeah, you got to throw that one in. Yeah. Okay, and then, you know, like this. And that, and the fun part is, yeah, like that. And what about Jesus? You know, what about, you know, it's just, what's the problem? It's a material world. Since when is the material world a nice place? You have people that no one can destroy. No one can anything. They're the most powerful. How else are they going to go? The only one to get rid of them is themselves. There's no one else. The demigods, if all the demigods came down and fight with them, the demigods would be defeated. There's no one that could defeat these people. These are eternal associates. So then, other than themselves, who can get rid of themselves? And they're kshatriyas. They go down fighting. He wants them all to come out with flowers or something? Or, you know, just, they're kshatriyas. They fight. So the whole point is this mundane vision, as pointed out in the beginning of the last chapter, if you have it, you'll have difficulty in devotional service.
I guess the question is, why are they allowed and not me?
Well, I mean, if you want to go out and whack yourself with an iron rod, go ahead. You know, that's the.
But there are usually these kind of doubts are whenever the four regs are kind of involved, like intoxication or sexual promiscuity or something.
Yeah, so then get yourself intoxicated and then get yourself killed. Go down to the bar, start a fight, get yourself shot, you know, and hurry balls. So then, now you happy? You know, were there any girls? Were there any girls?
No.
No. So no. Then?
Yeah.
So then, you know, give it a break. It's how the Lord wants it. That's why He does things like this, just so that then those who aren't sincere can find fault. Mm. It's like, remember, we're going through, everything's very nice and orderly through 8th canto. 9th canto, then everything's turned upside down. Because we think it's the external, the secondary, the moral, that's what makes Krishna consciousness. No, it's remembering Krishna is what makes Krishna consciousness. That's the real thing. So is it about Krishna, or is it about their concept of morality? You know, they have to be able to go beyond their own external attachments. It's only because they think it's bad. Because if we take all the different things, let's say, that even are recommended by the Shastras or by Prabhupada, how many of them do they feel is, you know, really good to follow? And some of them they think, well, it's not so important, or this I'll do later and that. But is that what the scriptures say? So there, it's their own system of morality that they're establishing. So we have to accept the Shastra and then try to apply that in their life. So the whole point is judging it in connection with Krishna. We saw there that Vishwanath pointed out that's how the materialists see it. So if he's seeing it that way and being affected by it, then that means there's still material vision. And then Krishna said it's by an illusion. He arranged that. All those associates are still alive with him in Dwarka. So what's the problem? It was just an excuse so the demigods could go back. then so that mundane people can make these mistakes and make these offenses. So that's what it's for. He said, why does he do that? It's the material. Why did you come to the material world in the first place? You were with Krishna. Why did you come here? You know what I'm saying? So, because we think there's something fabulous here. You know, and they think if everything's moral, it will be fabulous. But it won't. It's only if people are Krishna conscious. Ram Raju was perfect because everybody was Krishna conscious. Dwarka is perfect because they're Krishna conscious. So if you forget Krishna, then there's a problem. So in other words, even if you're an associate of the Lord, you get drunk and start a fight, then there's going to be a problem. So don't get drunk and don't start fights.
Don't forget Krishna.
I'm just saying, even on the mundane planet, it doesn't work out. So therefore, don't do this. So it's just that there has to be the conviction that Krishna consciousness is the thing, and all other things have no value, especially this modern morality.
Actually, people think that morality is bhakti itself. That's
it. Yeah, they think morality, but it's not even just morality. It's their morality is bhakti.
Yeah.
It's not what Shastra says, because that's dharma. Then you're obliged. It's just they feel. They don't like this. They don't like fighting, so therefore it's that. You know, is the local gang leader saying that? No, he's thinking, wow, cool. You know? You know what I'm saying? So it's just his own mundane conditioning. So they'll adjust morality as they see fit. What supports their particular mundane position is how they'll adjust it. So as devotees, she said, understand. That's why it says, anyone who understands my appearance and disappearance, they'll attain the supreme. So the appearance, the point is, as he said, he appeared from Devaki's heart. But at the same time as then, when he's in the womb, the demigod's prayers when Krishna's in the womb. So he has his own methods. Because as is pointed out in the, what was that? The Brahmanda Purana? Nothing can be added or subtracted from the Lord's form. His appearance and disappearance are said to be simply coming into this world and leaving it. He comes here, he leaves. It's all him anyway. So the whole point is they're thinking the morality is what makes the devotional service nice. No, it's the absorption in Krishna. Does that make sense? It's just a natural thing in relationships. You know, it's the relationship is more important than the externals. But here the externals are more important than the relationship. So it'll be weak. If the relationship's more important, then that'll be strong. So one's supposed to have firm faith, not weak faith. Because if you want weak faith, there's unlimited things to cause weak faith. Right? But firm faith is what's important. Because the weak faith, how well is it done us, you know, all these, you know, unlimited lifetimes here? Are we happy? No?
Not yet.
Not yet. Working on it. You know, can we point out some point and say, yes, you know, here, wait, it's so good. But, you know. Does that work? Or yeah?
Maharaj, it seems that spiritual life is quite individual according to our own realization.
Yes, it is. That's why it says self-realization, not en masse realization, or, you know, big huge, stadium full of people realization, or like that. It's individual. And so, the path of bhakti is laid out, but exactly the details on that path will be different from one individual to the next. But you can categorize because you know the elements that you're working with, but what's going to be the exact combination, that you can't say.
Yes. And we have always the free will.
You always have the free will. So if one wants to stay here, one can. You can always take, what is it, the red pill or whatever it is? Or the blue pill? Can get it out. Is the blue the ignorance and the red's the passion? Or? Yeah, I don't really remember.
But you can say either one. Find out.
Take them both at once.
Oh, God.
That's right. What's that? Kalidas? Somehow or another, Kali Devi was so pleased. Because when she appeared, she appeared in this huge, you know, so many, you know, hundreds of faces and arms and this and that. And he just started cracking up laughing. She's sitting there going, okay, she's never seen this reaction before. You know, it's like everyone comes in the reverence or the fear or something like that. He's just rolling on the ground laughing. And when he opens his eyes and looks again, he starts laughing again and like that. And at some point, you know, they said, what are you laughing about, you know? She got intrigued.
Yes.
You know, because it wasn't just an immediate thing or a cover-up. He kept laughing. She says, when I get a cold, and my nose gets full of mucus, and that, and it's such a, you know, it's such a trip and a mess, and you look so funny and everything. And just imagine, you got thousands of faces, if they all had mucus, it says, you know, what a scene, like that. And so then she started laughing. So, you know, so. Then she came and she said, okay, which of these do you want? Do you want there was the two glasses of nectar. One is wealth and one is knowledge. He said, can I see? Like that, looking at him like that. Then he mixed them and drank it. She said, what are you doing? I said, one or the other. He says, what's the use of wealth without knowledge, and what's the use of knowledge without wealth? So then he became Kalidas, the big pundit. Yes, so. Whether it'll work out, though. But,
Maybe he was smart before also.
No, he was... They chose him because... Oh, no, Kalidas. They chose him because he was...
Stupid.
He was like...
Yeah.
He was the... He was the fool's fool. Yeah.
The books about just like the stories of Kalidas.
There's this story, and then after that, then there's other... But he wrote all these great Sanskrit epics and everything like that. He's very well known. But... Unless that was Tenali. I know, that may have been Tenali Ram. But he was also a big idiot. Like that, same. But, yeah, that's the problem. All these stories get mixed up because they're so similar. You know, Tenali Ram and Gopal Bhatt, they're generally interchangeable, the stories. Like that. Do you notice it? Is it Tenali Ram or is that
Tenali Ram?
That story or was that Kalidas?
Tenali Ram
of that particular one, because they both then chanted mantras and got benediction from Kali. That's how he's Kalidas. Tenali Ram was okay. He was the one laughing. Okay, so it's Tenali Ram.
Then he says he become Vikatakavi. His title is Vikatakavi, means there's a normal Kavi and this one always does some kind of sarcasm.
Okay, yeah. No, he really, really goofs on them. Yeah, no, the stories of Tenali Ram are funny. You know the one about that's Gopal Bhatt.
You better tell it.
Huh?
You better tell it.
It's about fish. Because in Bengal they have a fish called Hilsa. And Hilsa, that's like, when it's Hilsa fish season, all the Bengalis go nuts. Like that. You know.
They're expressed in nothingness.
Yeah, no, they're just, you know, it's just totally. So then, Gopal Bhatt. Yeah, then he's telling the king, you know, because that's here in Krishnagar, Krishnadeva Roy. He's telling him, all these, you know, people, they're all going nuts over the sea. It's so crazy. Why are they going so nuts over the fish? You know? And like that, and the king says this, no, everybody goes nuts over this fish. He says, you would not be able to walk from the market to this court with a Hilsa fish and people not make a scene about it. About the fish. He says, no, I could walk in with no problem. No one would even notice the fish. The king, you know, of course, that's king, so he takes the challenge, okay? So then he goes home. Like that, you know, the next day. I'm not sure if he didn't come for a few days or something. And then, you know, leaves it a few days. And then he shaves, right? Half his face, you know, like that. And then, you know, have the mustache with his half his head. like this. Then he gets that old ripped clothes that are all different colors. Nothing matches, nothing this, wears it really crazy. Then he takes like kumkum and turmeric and puts it on his body in different patches and colors. And you know, it's just, he looks completely wild.
It's the origin of punk.
Sorry?
Origin of punk.
Yes, the origin of punk. So then he goes to the market, buys one fish. Right? And then he walks with that fish. And he doesn't just walk, he's, you know, doing some weirdo stuff and spinning and this and walking crazy and, you know, like probably the, what do you call it, the Ministry of Silly Walks would have been impressed.
That's what lineage actually
is. Yes, yes, and that, yeah, that's where it comes from, yes, something like that. And so then he walks in and he's like that, and everybody's just looking at him and what crazy, and he walks right up to the king, and the king, what are you doing, and this and that, and starts yelling and screaming, and this is the court, you can't act like this and that. And then once, you know, king's made his whole thing, then he goes sober and shows the fish. Mm-hmm. Said, did you notice that? Did anybody notice this fish? Yeah, so... That's Gopal Bhatt. Tenali Ram's the same. Same kind of stories. Yeah, that's why they're many times interchangeable. Mm-hmm. So you can tell us what is, like this one I knew was Gopal because of the fish.
Yeah.
But if it's about, you know, the eggplant one, that's Tenali Ram. Right? The cat. I don't know if I know the cat one. Oh, there's a cat one. You can tell the cat one later. Let's finish this one. The intelligence of the devotee who's absorbed in Paramatma is not bewildered by the words of those touched by the Lord's Maya and or those who take shelter of a demoniac mentality. Well, this is not demoniac, this is just insane. Yeah. The BBT purport states, although Lord Krishna descended to this world to save the fallen souls, he did not want to encourage people in the future to loiter here unnecessarily. In other words, as soon as possible, one should perfect one's Krishna consciousness and go back home, back to Godhead. That's the idea. Because his point is, he's finished his he goes. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Anyone who regularly rises early in the morning and carefully chants with devotion the glories of Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental disappearance and his return to his own abode will certainly achieve that same supreme destination. As soon as Dwaraka reached Dwarka, he threw himself at the feet of Vasudeva and Ugrasena and drenched the feet with his tears, lamenting the loss of Lord Krishna. Dwaraka delivered the account of the total destruction of the Vrishnis, and upon hearing this, O Parikit, the people became deeply distraught in their hearts and stunned with sorrow. Feeling the overwhelming pain of separation from Krishna, they struck their own faces while hurrying to the place where their relatives lay dead. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, the portions of the eternal associates, Prajumna, Anirudha, and others, had previously gone from Dwarka to Prabhas. Portions of Devaki, Rohini, and other eternal associates then went to Prabhas on hearing the news. The main portions of Devaki and others remained in Dwarka, not visible to the eyes of the common people. So it means that that's the point at which it went from Prakat to Aprakat.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, the portions that went to Prabhas, mm-hmm. you didn't see them in Dwarka anymore in the Prakat pastimes.
Yes.
Right? But they were there in the Aprakat. So now Dwarka is functioning as Aprakat.
Because the Aprakat is the term.
Yeah, that's always going on. Yeah. And the other one manifests according to how Krishna wants to reveal the pastime. Generally follows the general pattern, but there's still some uniqueness.
Yeah.
So it's just that, just like in Vrindavan, when Krishna went after, who is that demon? He went up to Mathura to kill.
Sanya.
Who?
Dantavakra.
After that, Krishna went to Vrindavan for 2 months, and after that, then he wound up the pastimes there. So as far as anybody was concerned, the Prakat was, Leela was over. So then they were just there in Aprakat. So only, you know, great devotees would be able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, so as far as everybody else is concerned, so Dwarka would be the same.
And you can say that, Mayapur also.
Yes, yeah, Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, the pastimes are always going on. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. No, we said that. Sukadev Goswami. The main portion is the Devaki and others remained in Dwarka, not visible to the eyes of the common people. Right? So by Krishna's grace, the common people could see him, even with material eyes, but now they can't. Right? Sukadev Goswami continued, when Devaki, Rohini, and Vasudev could not find their sons, Krishna and Rama, they lost consciousness out of anguish. Tormented by separation from the Lord, his parents gave up their lives at that very spot. My dear Parikit, the wives of the Yadavas then climbed onto the funeral pyres, embracing their dead husbands. The wives of Lord Balaram also entered the fire and embraced his body. And Vasudev's wives entered the fire and embraced his body. The daughters-in-law of Lord Hari entered the funeral pyres of their respective husbands, headed by Prajumna. And Rukmini and the other wives of Lord Krishna, whose hearts were completely absorbed in him, entered his fire. Arjuna felt great distress over separation from Lord Krishna, his dearmost friend. But he consoled himself by remembering the transcendental words the Lord had sung to him. Arjuna then saw to it that the funeral rites were properly carried out for the dead, who had no remaining male family members. He executed the required ceremonies for each of the Yadus, one after another. As soon as Dwarka was abandoned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ocean flooded it on all sides, O King, sparing only his palace. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the Lord's palace was spared, as the next verse states, the Lord is eternally present there. The statement is the view of the Lord, who is present in the palace in unmanifest pastimes, not the view of the common people. This is how some explain that the palace remained. Others explain that the ocean flooded Dwarka, but not the palaces of the Yadavas, to show how everything except the Lord is temporary. Sukadev Goswami continued, right, so the element of it's temporary, it's not a place to stay, one has to wind up, you know, like this and go back to Godhead. Sukadev Goswami continued, Lord Madhusudana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternally present in Dwarka. It is the most auspicious of all auspicious places, and merely remembering it destroys all contamination. Arjuna took the survivors of the Yadu dynasty, the women, children, and old men, to Indraprastha, where he installed Vajra as ruler of the Yadavas. Hearing from Arjuna of the death of their friend, my dear king, your grandfathers established you as the maintainer of the dynasty and left to prepare for their departure from this world. A person who with faith engages in chanting the glories of these various pastimes and incarnations of Vishnu, the Lord of Lords, will gain liberation from all sins. The all-auspicious exploits of the all-attractive incarnations of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also the pastimes he performed as a child, are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in other scriptures. Anyone who clearly chants these descriptions of his pastimes will attain transcendental loving service unto Lord Krishna, who is the goal of all perfect sages. Yeah. 24 to 28. Conclusion. Nothing can be added to or subtracted from the Lord's form. His appearance and disappearance is said to be simply coming into this world and leaving it. By remembering the Lord's extraordinary activities, one must completely give up misconceptions concerning his disappearance. Right? So that's the point. One must give up those misconceptions. It's just something has to be done. You can't hold on to it. Although Lord Krishna, being the possessor of infinite powers, is the only cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of innumerable living entities, he simply did not desire to keep his body in this world any longer. Thus he revealed the destination of those fixed in the self, and demonstrated that this mortal world is of no intrinsic value. Without the presence of Sri Krishna, truth, religion, faithfulness, glory, and beauty do not exist on this earth. Right? So then Bhagavatam, in the beginning, that says, well, then where does it reside? Then it came as Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the glories of all this. So all these are with Srimad Bhagavatam. So those who read it, you know, it says here with, clearly chants these descriptions, right? So that, you know, has that faith, that clarity, then they will develop, attain transcendental loving service to the Lord Krishna. Yes, yeah, so it's not that.
This is the only way.
Yes.
So we finished, huh?
With 11th canto.
No, the story.
Oh, I see. Not the story. Oh, I see.
Oh, right. Yeah.
First.
Okay. Which Denali Ram story is it?
No.
The cat. He's got the cat one. I got the eggplant one.
So, because there were many rats in the kingdom.
Oh, yes. Okay, go ahead. Yes, yes.
So then the people started complaining. Then the king thought the best rule would be everybody has to grow a cat. And see to it that the cat is maintained well. So he ordered, he passed the rule in the kingdom that everybody should feed milk to their cat every day. And the cat should become fat by drinking the milk. So then Tenali Raman actually feels this is an unnecessary rule.
But did they give cows for this purpose or anything? Or
did they give cows?
Did the king give cows?
No. Because it's generally everybody has
had food. Cows, okay.
So then Tenali Raman actually feels that the king is unnecessarily entering into something which he is not supposed to.
Get involved.
It's an unjust rule. So then the king says, if after every month there will be checking, everybody will be checked. And if somebody's cat is not properly maintained, then he'll be punished. Then after 1 month, the people come and complain, everybody is maintaining well except Tenali Raman, because his cat is growing very thin. Then he calls Tenali Raman and asks, what is the problem? Why your cat is not maintained? He says, I'm giving him the milk every day and he's not drinking. How can you blame me for that? Then the king says, how is it possible? He says, I'll bring my cat in the kingdom. You just look for yourself. And they bring the cat, and in front of everyone, they put the milk. The cat sees the milk and he just runs away. Then the king asks, you did something. I know you did something. Otherwise it's not possible. Then he explains the whole thing. Actually, you cannot put a rule like this and all. Then he says, what I did is I put hot milk in front of the... I didn't give anything for the cat for 4 days. And when it's very hungry, I gave hot milk. And when it is drinking, I used to beat on it. So he got two experiences with the milk. One is it is hot, and if you drink it, you'll get a beating. So he never goes near them.
Yes.
Now the eggplant.
Eggplant story. Didn't I tell this eggplant story?
Maybe, but who remembers it?
So then, because you had, what's his name? Krishna Deva Rai. So, because he's the king there. And what's the place called?
Vijayanagar.
Vijayanagar, right? So the kings of the north could never get south because of them. So then there was this, you know, this respect that was there, but based on rivalry. So then Akbar, who was the king at the time, so that's why they were all around at the same time, the stories. Akbar then, he used to now and again, if he got something special that none of the other kings would have, he'd send it to him. You know, just showing that he's the emperor, he gets this stuff, what do you get? Right? So then he had gotten this special eggplant. There was foreign eggplant, it wasn't a local eggplant. You know, really, really supposed to be really special eggplant. So then, you know, he brought the eggplant, you know, and, you know, of course the messenger, you know, comes with the full arrogance of Akbar and, you know, the whole thing. Like that. And, you know, something about how you can't grow such eggplant and this and that, or, you know, so on. So then the king, you know, gets the eggplant, you know, they make a special garden, put wall around it, put guards, you know, the whole thing like this to grow this eggplant. Because it's supposed to be something, you know, very special. And of course, Tenali Ram thinks this is a bit stupid. So then when time when the eggplant's ready, it's ripe, like that. Then at night, Tanalaram hops over the wall, steals all the eggplant, goes back home, wakes up his wife, tells her to cook it. You know, so they're there cutting it up, they cook it, and then they, you know, and afterwards then they eat it. You know, this is all happening at midnight. And he's saying, wow, this is the best eggplant I've ever had. You know, this is fabulous eggplant. He's eating it. So then, but there's some left. They couldn't finish it all, right? Because there's a lot of eggplant. So they think, what to do with this? We can't have any left over and all that. So then his wife thinks, well, we'll call the son. He says, okay, but don't you call him. I'll call him. So it was summertime, you know, so it's warm, so you sleep out on the veranda. So then Tanalaram goes with a pot of water and starts sprinkling his son. Get up, it's raining, go inside. So, you know, he's got, he goes inside, and when he goes inside, his mother sits him down and feeds him the eggplant. So he eats, and then he goes to sleep. Right? So then the next morning, then when the sun comes up, then the guards come to the king, all the eggplant's been stolen. Right? So the king is very upset. And then later in the day, when all the kids go to the Gurukul, right, you know, because all the ministers, they all go to the same Gurukul, then they hear of Tanaliram's son talking about how last night he ate this fabulous eggplant. You know, so, you know. So then the king calls Tanaliram, like that. And then, you know, what's this? You know, your son's saying the eggplant's gone. You said, why did you take the eggplant? Why did I take that? He says, where do you get this, you know, from? He says, your son said, you know, he ate eggplant last night. Said, very, very nice eggplant. He says, but everybody knows my son's crazy. You know, why are you taking, you know, the words of, you know, somebody who's mad? And like that. He says, what do you mean? Like that. He says, so bring him here. So they bring the kid, and he says like that. So what's this? He said about, yeah, you know, this eggplant. No, what happened before the eggplant? Well, before the eggplant, it was raining, so then I went inside. Like that. And then when I came inside, then there was eggplant to eat. And then Tanalaram said, see? He said, he's nuts. It didn't rain last night. You know? So then they called the court astrologers, and they calculated, and even by astrology, it could not have rained. So then they had to, you know, kind of drop the case. Yes.
Keep that in mind.
Yes. So, good. Yes.
That's what we do in between cantos.
In between cantos, you must tell the Tanaliram or Gopal Pant stories.
Right? We should have started that.
No beer ball stories. They're too serious.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly.